Father, I pray that as I begin this homily, let me speak the words that you want, that you desire, that you want to plant into our hearts today about the sacredness of this holy bond and sacrament of matrimony. Amen. In 2002, I was made the vocation director for the diocese, and I had to say some masses for a number of months over at Mary, Mother of the Church, and that is where I met Joy and Erica and their mom, Rita. And that began a really wonderful relationship, a journey. To be able to walk with young people during their teen years, those are tough years. And yet, what I always admired was how you kept coming back to center and saying, I'm talking to both of you. Both of you did that. You kept saying, I want to do what God wants me to do. I'm always working with seminarians and getting them to ask the big questions. What does God want? You girls did that from little up. Therefore, to be able to be at a wedding like this, I love it. It is a very special privilege. And to be able to join together now with Ryan in walking with the two of you over this past couple of years, this has been tough. This has been difficult. How do you fall in love and then separate for 18 months and during that time give the freedom to one another to say, this is God's work, not ours. And whatever happens, we will put that in God's hands. That is very difficult. You want to grab back and say, but this is mine. There was a beautiful surrender. If I were to say, what is the spirit that I see in both of you from having talked with you, having walked with you? It is the spirit of missionary. Missionary is what brought you together. Missionary is what has sustained you. And missionary is the road in which you will walk from here forward. Now, there's a very interesting detail today that I want to bring forward. I'm not sure if many people are aware of it. In 2004, a number of us, Father Keith, myself, and I forget about 15 young people from the diocese, went to Lima, Peru. That is where your mission identity, your missionary identity began. Who are some of the saints that you remember from that we visited? Rosa of Lima and St. Martin de Porres. Did you know that today is Martin de Porres' feast day? You did not know that. I caught it this morning. I thought, I have got to mention this. Martin de Porres, he is one of the poorest, most missionary saints from Peru. We take the young people when we make that tour. We work with the young children there, and then we take them downtown. And we visit Santo Domingo Church. We're in the 1500s. Here was a young man from a broken world. Illegitimate son of a fancy-wancy Spaniard and a Panamanian native. Took him 8 years to recognize that he even had that son because he was a half-breed. That's what they called them back then. And then he finally abandoned the family completely. And at about age 12, he was an apprentice to a barber. But he gave his life to God. And he said, Lord, this is my life. I give it to you. He said, I'm unworthy to be a brother. Just make me a lay volunteer. They recognized the holiness in his life. After 9 years, he made his vows as a brother. And he made such a difference in that Dominican order. We visited his grave. What lessons do we derive from a person like that? I don't care what kind of background anybody comes from. We all come from wounded backgrounds. And yet God draws straight. And what a wonderful patron saint for the rest of your life to be able to say, San Martin de Porres, you are our patron on our wedding day. The kindness that he showed to poor people. Where did he derive his strength? They took us into the chapel where he would be in about that bench, and he would pray all night long. He found his strength in Jesus Christ. He found his strength in the sacraments. He would go to Holy Communion all the time. And this is where I want to move into your program. This is the most beautiful program that we could ever have for today. It's a book. You should publish it. But would you go to the first part? Falling in love with God. Read that prayer by Pedro Arrupe. He was president of the Jesuits a number of years ago. But when we fall in love with God, our lives become defined. When we know our relationship to God, we know our relationship to ourselves. If I don't know my relationship to God, I am a question in search of an answer. When I fall in love with God, I begin to learn who I am so that I might find out what is my mission. And then that song taken from Song of Songs, and then later the reading, this falling in love. Oh, it'd be so easy to just say, oh, that's just a love song. No, it is a love song with God. A love song with God. But let's move into the Mass if you have your program. When we move into Mass, the Lord is calling us to a very unique relationship with Him. Not as a slave, not as just a business relationship. He calls us sons and daughters. But if we're going to open up our relationship to Him, we all come in as wounded people in that penitential rite. Lord, have mercy. You are the divine physician. You know, as you come to a wedding like this, each one of you, all of us, but especially as a wedding couple, you need to see in each other, my spouse, you are wounded. You are wounded, and you cannot love me as you should without God's grace. And therefore, you come to the divine physician. I think I mentioned this at Joy's wedding, but I love this saying. It comes from Deacon James Keating. He said, when we get married, and it's really in the penitential rite as well, these are the words you say to each other. I suffer your conversion. Because conversion is a battle. Each one of us is so selfish on the inside. Each one of us always tends to choose that selfish part. But when you fall in love with each other and you fall in love with God, you recognize your brokenness, you recognize the brokenness in the other, you recognize that the divine physician has created the other in His image. And out of a call by God, you say, Father, I choose this person not because of my preference, but because of the call. And you come to that person, you look them in the eye during the vows, and you say, I love you, I choose you for life. And even in the battle that I know you will have in the future with your own self, I suffer. And you talk about passion in your side notes. I suffer your conversion, and you suffer mine. The great patience that will entail. But you know, you're not just individuals forming your own bond of two, but rather we meld as families. And the penitential rite is a time to recognize my family is my family. And God calls us to live together, to work together, and I will suffer your conversion. That's what you say to your family in this penitential rite. And your family says to you, and we will suffer yours. We will work together. Because see, God doesn't call us simply as individuals to a private relationship. He calls us to a personal relationship where now your strengths can cover my weaknesses. My strengths can cover your weaknesses. And God will work with us if we open up our broken hearts to His grace. The penitential rite. The readings. The liturgy of the word. This is the history. The history of humanity's search for God and God coming to reveal Himself to us. The question in search of the answer and the answer revealing Himself. Not itself, but Himself to us. We see in the gospel reading, most couples choose this reading. From the beginning, God made them male and female. That is why a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife. Who calls them together? God. We live in a world in which we have lost that because we choose our own preferences. But this is what makes sacrament different than any other imitation of marriage. Because in sacrament, you don't simply choose the other person because you please me more than anybody else has pleased me. But rather, you bring this to prayer. And you say, Lord, not how can that person please me, but how do you want us to please you? Do you call us to be able to be a couple so that we can be on mission for you? Very different than any other imitation of marriage. And that's what you two are swearing the oath to. Because see, it's a triangle where the two of you come together. But as you love God more than you love each other, God will bring you closer together, so that by the time you die, this journey of faith will have you in a very tight unity at the apex. Ryan, Erica, and God. What is the origin of marriage? It comes from God. And therefore, listen to those words in the vows. After you finish, I put my hands on yours. What God has joined, let no human being separate. This is God's call. You've given him your freedom. You've discerned the call. And now embrace that call. Claim that call. That whenever you have difficulties, you claim that call. You say, Lord, you've called us together. You will guide us through this journey. The first reading taken from the Psalm, Song of Songs. This is so characteristic of Old Testament theology, in which God calls his people. People move away. God brings them back. They move away. God brings them back. What is his relationship with them? He speaks about covenant, and God makes numerous covenants with Adam and Eve, with Noah, with Abraham, with Moses, with David. But all of these are previews. Because all the prophets say there is an ultimate covenant that God will make through his Son, his Messiah. And the language that God uses in many of the prophets, and we see it as well in the Song of Songs, is God says, my relationship to you is spouse. You marry me. See, we often think that, well, our relationship to God is something like a marriage between a man and a wife. No. Man and a wife, their marriage is something like the marriage that each of us is called to have with God. When we die, our marriage with the Lord comes to fulfillment. It begins in your baptism. It is renewed in the sacraments. It must be fed. Because what happens to a marriage if you are not working on it on a daily basis? It falls apart. How can we have this marriage with the Lord if we are not working together on a daily basis through a life of prayer, through a life of learning, through a life of discipline, conversion, discipleship? That is what you say yes to when you get married in the sacrament of marriage. Liturgy of the Word, the second reading, as well as the psalm, speaks about the cry of the poor. You are called to be a mother. You are called to be a father. Not just to your own children. You are called to have children. The Lord will entrust souls to your care. Some, God willing, will be your children. Many others will be people that are begging God for someone to care for them. I wonder who your children will be. That is part of the mission that you need to discover. You use the word hospitality. This is the first time that I've ever used this reading for a wedding. It's not one of the common readings, but it's beautiful. Be mindful of prisoners. Let marriage be honored among all, the marriage bed undefiled. Be free from love of money. Content, because the Lord is your helper. I will not be afraid. Love that phrase that you have, hospitality is creating sacred space for another. That is a sacred space for God, a sacred space for your spouse, a sacred space for your children. The decisions you make about love and family, don't be selfish. Because the decisions you make about making room for new life in your family determine the very existence of who will be living here in subsequent generations. That is a heavy, heavy thought. We don't make those kinds of decisions based on my own preferences. We make those decisions based on, Lord, how many children do you want us to have? And then moving out from there into the mission of others. We get to the homily, it says, briefly expounds on the readings. We'll skip that part. We'll go to the prayers of the faithful. In the prayers of the faithful, we pray for one another. Again, see, we get so lost in our world of individualism. It's my world, it's my life, it's my marriage, it's my this, my that. In the prayers of petition, we pray for everyone because we make up the body of Christ. And therefore, Lord, help us to recognize the wounded. Help us to recognize the souls that you want to entrust to our care. But now we move into the liturgy of the Eucharist. The liturgy of the Eucharist is what is going to sustain you in this journey to be able to be missionaries. And when we teach the little children about this, we say Jesus is the bridegroom. Because remember, this marriage is only modeled after this marriage. Jesus is the bridegroom. Who is the bride? The church. The little second graders getting ready for their first communion. I have this in my mind always. So children, if Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is the bride, where do you find the vows? Where are the vows where, just like a husband says, I give myself totally to you. Where do you find that? Listen to that in the liturgy of the Eucharist. When we hear the words of Jesus at the Last Supper, the night before he is murdered, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. Those are the marriage vows. Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. Dorothy Day, who was the Mother Teresa in the United States for 45 years, what sustained her in her missionary work and missionary zeal? A classmate of mine in the seminary, this is not in any book, but I mention it every now and then because I think of it at every Mass. She says, when I go to Mass and the priest lifts up the bread, which now becomes the body of Christ, it's as if I hear the Lord say to me, Dorothy, this is my body broken for you. Will you let your body be broken for me and for others? Dorothy, this is my blood poured out for you. Will you let your blood be poured out for me and for others? I don't know how people sometimes, I know we do it, we get bored at Mass. A lot of people leave the church because they think they're bored. For whatever reason. Where can you go in the woods or in a closet or anywhere to be able to receive the body and blood of Christ? And Jesus says in scriptures, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Those are harder words than any church has ever said. And it comes from God himself. We desperately need to receive the body and blood of Christ to sustain us on this missionary journey so that we can reach out to the souls that God wants to bring to us. And therefore, let that phrase of Dorothy Day be a part of your own life. We come to the Our Father, and again, it's not my Father. It's not my private relationship. It's a personal relationship that is missionary. Our Father. You call us as a family. You call us to work together to be able to be instruments of salvation and instruments of peace. And at the sign of peace, a reminder, again, we all come as wounded. But God calls us, if we are missionaries, to be instruments of peace. And if you're unwilling to be a missionary to me, it doesn't stop me from being a missionary to you. And therefore, as we meld families together, it's going to be very important to reach out to one another and say, God has called us as a family. And therefore, as God has called the two of you, let us take down our barriers. Let us build this body of Christ that the Lord so much wants to give to us. And finally, at communion time, listen to the Lamb of God. And then finally, the priest says, blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. What supper is he talking about? It comes from the book of Revelation, in which he calls it the marriage supper. We renew our marriage with the Lord. And again, go back to the little kids. If the words of consecration are the wedding vows, where is Holy Communion? Where is the sharing of the couple? Where is the kiss? And that is the moment of Holy Communion. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. As you receive your Holy Communion today, let that be the power, the grace, to be able to move then into being that Lamb of sacrifice for one another in your mission. Finally, at the end of the Mass, go forth, the Mass is ended. And the word Mass, Missa, comes from the Latin words which means to be sent forth. You are sent forth. You have the strength through the power of God and His grace to be able to go out into your mission. I have this picture of a red barn. I love this picture. And this picture of the red barn, written, it was drawn and painted by my sister, shows a shepherd father leading his shepherd son into the darkness of the barn at night. And the lesson is that life is so scary. I can't go into the world alone. And so God gives me the Lord. And God gives me good people by the hand. And I go into my red barn. God doesn't take away the red barns. He teaches us how to enter into them with His presence and strength. And once I encounter God in my red barn, then the Lord says, now I got a job for you. Now that the two of you have found me in your red barns, see those people over there? I want you to go out. Go into their red barn and help them to find me. And when you're done with them, I got some people over here. And then some people over here. That is what a missionary does. Finally, one song that we used to sing on all of our mission trips, Alma Misionera. We need to have an alma, a soul that is missionary. The refrain, take me, Lord, where people need to hear your words, where they need strength to live, where there is a lack of hope, where there is a lack of joy, because simply they do not know you. As we prepare now for the vows, I'm going to place this on this kneeler. The cross for you, Ryan, you will die for your wife, as Jesus died for the church. I made that today during pictures. The rosary, Spanish have a custom called el lazo, where the two are tied together. You are called to carry the joys of life and called to carry your crosses together. And when you put the Lord in the center, He will make all things bearable. And you can carry that with hope and with joy. Pray.